Grace to you in peace, in the name of our coming Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What comes to mind when I say the word Christmas? Do you immediately think of things like the Virgin Mary, the visit of the shepherds, the song of the angels, the manger, the stable, the Christ child? Or are you perhaps a little bit more like me, like probably most Americans, like my daughter, who I asked last night this question to, do you rather first think of things like Christmas trees and presents and lights and going shopping and Santa and all the other trappings of the holiday experience? You see, I'm afraid that for most of us, the most wonderful time of the year is not so much about the coming of Christ as it is about the tradition of Christmas. We have, at least to a large degree, placed a greater emphasis upon the celebration than upon the Savior. In so doing, we have fallen into the trap of Satan. For anyone or anything that supplants or supersedes the significance of Jesus, one must look at that and see behind that the working of the devil. Because you see, nothing that flows from God would ever lead a person away from Jesus. And thus, the theme for our Advent series is going to be the trappings of Christmas. Each week, we are going to examine another of the elements of our Christmas tradition. And as we do this, it is my prayer that we will avoid the trap to make each of these elements the center or the essence of our Christmas celebration. But we will instead use these elements to enhance and then to gain focus again for our attention on Jesus. Our first Christmas trapping, then, is the to-do list. Because we have turned the Christmas experience into such a busy time, it has become essential, at least for most of us, to make a to-do list so that we don't miss anything. For example, a typical to-do list might look something like this. Shop for gifts, purchase a tree, get wrapping paper out of the attic, buy tape and bows, bake cookies, grocery shop for the holiday meal, clean our house for guests, decorate the tree, replace burned out lights, decorate the house, put up a yard display, make a dish for the party we're going to, purchase cards, dress cards, send cards, write a Christmas letter, secure travel plans, watch Christmas specials, oh yeah, and get photos with Santa at the mall of the kids or the grandkids. Now, your Christmas to-do list might look something like that. It might have even more things on it. I don't know what you've got on yours. And that's all well and good. It helps keep you organized. I get that. But because we spend so much time and money and energy focusing on the to-do aspect of Christmas, I think we often diminish or we forget about the ta-da aspect of Christmas also. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me explain. From as far back as I can remember, whenever I watched a magician, after he did his trick, he'd always say, ta-da! He'd pull a rabbit out of a hat, or he'd saw a woman in half and then put her back together, or he'd make his assistant disappear, and then, ta-da! And there is a real ta-da factor to Christmas. It's not so much the magic as we think of in terms of a sleight of hand or a little trickery, but it's real, supernatural power. That which is beyond all human explanation and all human understanding. It's a power that we call a miracle. The Christmas miracle. The ta-da of the Christmas story takes place in our text this morning concerning the Virgin Mary. A woman who, as the scriptures tell us, had never been with a man before. She'd never slept with a man. And yet she's told by an angel that she's going to give birth to a son. And Mary asks a very logical question. How can this be? I'm a virgin. And the angel says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And ta-da! You will give birth to the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God. Now I know the scripture doesn't say that the angel actually said ta-da, but he could have. Because that message is the miracle of Christmas. And it's because of that miracle that we can be certain of our forgiveness and certain of our salvation before God. You see, had any mere human come to this world to try to have led a perfect life, it wouldn't have happened. And see, as a mere human, he couldn't have died on a cross as the substitute for all of our sin. And as a mere human, he certainly couldn't have raised himself from a grave. But it was because of this Christmas miracle that Jesus was both God and man, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Now, if you watch a lot of Christmas specials, and you probably will be over the next number of weeks and so, and you listen to the songs on the radio, you're going to hear a lot and see a lot of references to Christmas magic. Snowmen talk. Reindeer fly. Toy soldiers come to life. That's all fun and such. I mean, you know, we all enjoy that. It's part of our being a child within us. But that's not the real Christmas magic. You see, the real Christmas magic, the real ta-da of Christmas, it's not fantasy. It's history. It's the miracle of God's Son being born of a virgin. As we now begin our race towards Christmas, I pray that we might remember that this holiday, it's not just about a list of things to do. It's also and especially about a ta-da. For God so loved us that He sent His one and only Son into this world to be born of a virgin, to die on a cross, to be our substitute before God for our sin. And thus, at its heart, at its essence, Christmas is never about what we have to do, but it's always about what God has already done. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, amen.